Good morning. It's great to see everyone.
First Kings chapter 17. This morning, very quickly, I want us to talk about the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Contrary to what you may think, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel were not the major prophets. Look at people like Elijah and Noah, like Steve talked about this morning, and we think, whoa, these guys are way up there. I could never be that. God could never use me like that. Truth be told, there's a faith-fulfilling prophecy in that. If you feel like you can never be a Noah, guess what? You will never be a Noah. If you feel like, you know what, I could never be an Elijah, you will never be an Elijah. But if you and I would look at their lives and say, you know what, I can be like that. God can use me that way. I tell you, the sky will be the limit. Amen? Amen. So 1 Kings chapter 17, let's look at this very quickly. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath and would stop there. At this point, the nation of Israel is divided into two. There's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is being led by Ahab. You all know his wife, Jezebel. As a matter of fact, every time the Bible described Ahab, he was the worst of the worst of all the kings of Israel. This guy was so wicked. And it's amazing, yet God allowed him to become king. Every time Ahab is described, it wasn't just, he did a few things. It was like, Ahab was the standard for what you did not want to be. And Elijah shows up and looks at him and says, you know what? Because of the sins of the nation of Israel had started worshiping Baal. That's as bad as it gets. It's like you and I claiming to be Christians, and now we're practicing Hinduism also, and worshiping all kinds of gods. And he says, you know what? Enough is enough. As a matter of fact, there's not going to be any rain except at my word. And the Bible tells us, we see in other places, it did not rain for 3.5 years. Talk about a drought. 3.5 years, not a drop. Because this one man prayed. But that's not what I want to focus on this morning. I want you to notice something. God says, go at once. Sorry, let me back up. He says, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. God commanded Elijah to go to a certain place. Again, you will often see that in the Bible. There are very few places where God will come in to a person's life and deal with them right there. Usually, it will tell you to go somewhere else. Amen? That's just the way it is. Okay, he created us. He can tell us anything he wants. He can order us anywhere he wants. That's the way God works. Amen? But you see, a lot of times, we want the blessings where we're at. We want the blessings on our own terms. This is huge. This is big. Because a lot of times we think, you know what? I'm right here, Lord. You know where I am? How come? Where's my blessing? And sometimes God will order you through his word, go somewhere else. Are you with me? Are you where God says to be? The blessings will come only in a certain place. How many of you love Star Trek? Okay. I watched a little bit of it growing up. And I remember on the Enterprise. You remember the Enterprise? If those guys were going to go out and come back, they had to go into the transportation room. Right? I don't even remember the name. But you had to be in a certain room, and you know, the effects such were, you know, they had this light on this on top, and the guys would stand there and they'll just disappear. They had to be in the right place to be able to go somewhere. That principle, brothers and sisters, is in the Bible. You have to be in a certain place to receive the blessing. Very similar to what we see in even in the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God says, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your family, and go to the land I will show you. And then it says, when you get there, I will bless you. I will make your name great. Nations will come from you. Abraham had to go somewhere. Elijah had to go somewhere. Too many times as Christians, we're staying put and we're wondering, God, where's my blessing? Instead of getting moving. Are you with me? Do you and I have the faith to act on God's word? You know, it's amazing that when we go where God says to go, the blessings will be waiting for you right there. Some of us, we still have young kids, and they come to us, they want certain things, right? Maybe you're sitting there having a bar of chocolate, or you're there sitting there with a bowl of ice cream. If you have little kids, I promise you, those things are magnet. They see you eating that stuff, they're going to ask for some. Okay? What do you do as a parent? You say, come here. Come get some. Okay? Can you imagine that four-year-old standing on the other side and say, you come here and give it to me. What would you do? You say, you know what? Wait. You are going to wait a long time. Just stay where you are and keep eating the stuff. Why? Because if they want it, they have to come to you. Amen? The same thing is true with God. There's certain blessings that he wants to give to us. But we're standing there dictating terms to him. And wondering why things are not happening in our lives. Amen? You see, if you're in the wrong place, the blessings will never come. But if you simply obey the scriptures, if you simply tell God, if you simply do what God says, the blessings will be there. You know, I think about my wife. I'm married to an incredible individual. I really am. And when I think about it, and I thank God for her every day, because to me it's a privilege to be married to her. It really is. How did our marriage come about? I had to act on God's word. I had to have faith that, you know what? God has the right person out there somewhere waiting for me. I didn't sit in Boston, say, okay, Lord, that's who I want. Or I like that one. Or I like that one. I tried that. It didn't work. Okay? That's the truth. I was minding my own business when they said, you know, hey, let's go to East Africa and go start a church. I said, really? Okay, great. Let's go. Let's do it. Now, again, I didn't go on the mission team. So, okay, yeah, now I'm going to try to find a wife. That was not my intention. And it's amazing. We started that church about a year later. You know, somebody invited my wife to church, and she started coming, and she started studying the Bible, and she became a Christian. And I shared that to say, you know what? I had to go all the way from Boston to Nairobi, Kenya to find her. Does that make sense? You got to be in the right place. This is a huge principle, and it's in the scriptures. And so I want us to ask the question, always, are you in the right place? Because God is not going to work unless, quote unquote, you are in the right place. You say, how do I know that? You pray about it. And it will make it very, very clear. Elijah had to go to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. God was very specific where he told him to go, and he went there. He didn't go somewhere else. Now, we don't know the distance. We don't know how long he was there for, but he went to the place. Are you with me? Now, like this, God told him, you're going to drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. How cool is that? He didn't have to cook. I know some of you like cooking. That's good. I like to eat. It's called division of labor. You feed me physically, I will feed you spiritually. I'm still doing my job. Everybody can be a cook in the kitchen, okay? I'm a cook, in a sense. But notice what it says. The birds brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. So he was eating twice a day. And he drank from the brook. One of the amazing things about this story, in my opinion, also, is that, you know what? You don't see Elijah complaining. How would you like to eat rice and beans twice a day for weeks? You don't see him complaining. You don't see him, God, hey, could we have some vegetables? Can I have some dessert to go with this? None of that stuff. You don't see it there. Again, I bring that up because, in a matter of speaking, we're spoiled in America. We are spoiled. Even sometimes as Christians, we act like God owes us a living. Where, you know, we have the opportunity to eat all kinds of different meals every day, praise God. But are you content? If God said, for the next 6 months, for 2 days, twice a day, all you're going to have is bread and vegetables and a piece of chicken, are you going to be happy? Or are you going to say, Lord, we need to talk, we need to renegotiate this. I don't know if I can handle this. We may not say it, but we act like it. And let me tell you something. God is not pleased. Wow. It's amazing. Here's this guy. He gets up. You know, he says, you know what? It's not going to rain for the next few years except at my word. He knew he was going to suffer as a result of his prayer. And yet, God took care of him. Now, you ask yourself the question. What was Elijah busy doing all day long? I'm sorry, they didn't have iPods back then. No TV, no magazines, no books. What do you think he was doing all that time? Spending time with the Lord. Oh, yeah. You see, before Elijah could stand on Mount Carmel, he had to spend time in the brook. You see, a lot of times we'll be at certain places, there's a reason behind it. God is not trying to frustrate you and me. God is not trying to make us miserable. God has put us in a certain place so that we can get closer to him. Because he's got something bigger waiting for us. And he's trying to prepare us. But half the time, we're sitting there, we're complaining, we're disgruntled, we're discouraged, we're depressed, and then you're wondering, how come God is not using me? That principle is all over the Bible. It's in there. Again, notice, can you imagine sitting by the brook and you see, again, the water just not flowing like it used to? Okay, this thing is drying up. This thing is drying up. You don't see Elijah going, you know what? I got to go find me another water supply. He stayed there until the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him. And sometimes, again, as Christians, we try and run ahead of God. And God has told you to sit down. Until he tells you to get up, you need to sit there. A lot of times we get nervous. We start looking around the surroundings. Uh-oh, things are not the way they're supposed to be. Things are drying up. Okay, God, I know you told me to sit here, but I think I can figure out something better. Okay, let me start looking. Let me start searching. You need to stay put until the Lord tells you to move. Amen? You need to stay there. Jehovah God knows what he's doing. And he has never made a mistake. Amen? We got to stay put. Don't run ahead. Don't run away. Don't start grumbling. Don't start complaining. And obviously, God came to his rescue. When the brook died up, he said, you know what? I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to go to Zarephath. If you look at it on the map, Samaria was where King Ahab was. And as a matter of fact, if you read the rest of the story, even in the next chapter, Ahab was looking for Elijah. Here's this guy who prayed, who told him to his face, it's not going to rain. And so you better believe he was looking for him. And God says, okay, the brook is dried up. I want you to go to Zarephath. And it's way up there. If you look on a map, compared to Samaria, the city where the king was. And so the king couldn't find him. He looked everywhere. He couldn't find him. And it's a very interesting story. We don't have time, so I'm not going to go into it. God sent him to a widow. A woman whose husband had died. Again, back then, we've talked about this before. There was no such thing as Social Security. The men went out and made a living, and the women took care of the family. That was the way it was in the first century. And if you didn't have any sons, you were in trouble. Because you had nobody to fend for you in your old age. And here's this widow. She's not even an Israelite. She's from the pagan nation. And God says, you know what? I want you to go to Zarephath. There's a widow there that's going to take care of you. I don't know about you. That takes a lot of faith. Again, I bring that up because a lot of times we try to negotiate with God. Lord, why do I have to go all that way? Well, instead of asking, you know, Harold to take care of me, why don't you just have Steve meet my needs? Why do I have to go all the way back there? Why can't you let him do it? He's right up front over here. You see how ridiculous we sound? But we do it every day. In our dealings with the Creator. And all we need to do is obey God. Just do what he tells us to do. I mean, we heard about it this morning in the adult class with Noah. I don't know about you, that's a huge boat. Again, it's one thing if they had Home Depot back then. Where he just goes in and says, okay, give me this much, you know, wood, and give me this much hinges or whatever it is, and son, load them up on the truck, let's go. He had to cut that stuff down, one by one. That's why it took years to build it. But the Bible says, amazingly, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Elijah's done the same thing here. He's obeying God. Now let me show you another principle. Look in Luke chapter 16. You see, because I think sometimes as Christians, we're wondering, okay, how come God is not working in my life and God is doing this or doing that? Let me show you something. Remember, Elijah had to be in the brook first before he could get to Mount Carmel. The brook was preparation for him, for something else, for something bigger. In Luke 16, in verse 10, watch this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? What is Jesus talking about here? In other words, you see, God is going to give us some very simple instructions. And he's going to watch how you and I handle it. He's going to watch what we are going to do. Are we going to exercise faith? Are we going to trust God that he's going to help us do that thing? Because believe me, that's a small project, quote unquote, you have on your hands right now. And if you are faithful with the small, he will now give you something bigger. Did you hear me? You got to learn 1 + 1 first before you can do calculus. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, we want calculus, but you can't even multiply. God doesn't work that way. So he's going to give you something small to test my faith, to test your faith, to see how we react, to see if we're going to obey him. If we're going to have faith, then you pass that, he's going to give you something else. He's going to give you more responsibility. Amen. That's the way God works in the Bible. So if he's giving you a little bit and you're not faithful with it, don't expect him to give you more. Because if you've not been faithful with a little, what you going to do with a huge project? Rather, he's going to give that huge project to people that have been trained and have done the little things well. That have been faithful in the little things. Are you with me? You see, all this was God preparing Elijah for the encounter with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. All this was kindergarten. All this was child's play. Are you with me? But he had to be in a certain place. He had to remain faithful. You see, what you and I do with a small task is an indication of how we will handle a large one. Again, notice, Elijah did not move until God told him to move. God communicated with him directly. He waited until he had direction from the Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, a lot of times, again, we think God does things the way we would do them. It doesn't work that way. If anything, in Isaiah 55 from verse 8, the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. He doesn't operate the way you and I do. He just doesn't. So stop trying to figure him out. You know, there are things that God does that I look at and say, this doesn't make sense. Guess what? It doesn't make sense. Because he's not human. He doesn't operate the way you and I would operate. We just need to be faithful because God will see us through. Are you with me? We shouldn't sit there be complaining, grumbling, running ahead of God. You need to sit tight. Again, a lot of us, we have kids. And at some point, they mess up. And what do? We give them a timeout. Right? We send them to their room or something. They go sitting at their bed until they get happy. Then they can come out and join the rest of the universe. So go sit on that bed until you get happy. 5 minutes later, I'm happy now, Daddy. Oh, no, you're not. Go back in there. A minute later, come out. I'm happy now. I'm really happy. Are you sure you're happy? Yeah, I am really happy now. That's the only time they come out of that room. Or they come out of that timeout, whatever it is you've imposed on them. Are you with me? Well, see, as adults, Quote unquote, we don't like timeouts. And guess what? They're part of the Christian life. Where God will tell you to sit put. Sometimes he does that. Ooh, but we don't like it. It's amazing. As parents, we can dish it out to the kids, but when God does it to us, and remember, we're kids too. We're his kids. When he does it to us, we don't like it. And we want to take things into our own hands. It doesn't work. We got to stay put. It's amazing to me. No arguments from Elijah, no questioning God, no complaints, just obedience. You see, as you and I are sitting here this morning, there are different things God is doing in our lives, or God is trying to accomplish in our lives, that two things need to happen. We need to make sure, first of all, that we're in the right place. Amen, church? Amen. You say, how do I know? Pray about it. He always makes it very, very clear. Always. For the blessings to come, you got to be in the right place. If the blessings are going to come in Seattle, you can't be sitting in London and expect to receive anything. You can stay in London until you're blue in the face. If the blessings are going to come in Seattle, they're going to come in Seattle. You see the point I'm making? There's a place. I think a lot of times we talk about God's timing. And that is also true. And it's amazing to me again, as I read the scriptures, God doesn't do anything on our own timetable. You're not going to cause him to get him to change his mind or to hurry something up. He's going to do it according to his timetable. Amen, church? Amen. It's amazing. We do the same thing with our kids. We have a timetable for them. You know, Christmas coming up, so what do you want for Christmas? Okay, can I have a car? No! Why? Because this is not the time for a car. Simple. We're not sitting there trying to, you know, convince the child. We just said no. Now, if you want, you can tell them why. It's okay. I don't have the money for a car. Oh, can I get a motorcycle? That's even worse than a car, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a timing with everything. Are you with me? We give them age-appropriate gifts. God does the same thing. But number one, you got to be in the right place. I think too many of us are in the wrong place. Spiritually. For us to receive everything God wants us to have. Amen? We got to be in the right place. We got to understand that God has us in that place right now because he's preparing us for something bigger. Before Elijah could get to Mount Carmel, he had to spend time in the brook. Same thing is true with you and me. Amen? God is preparing us for something bigger. There's going to be bigger challenges. There's going to be bigger blessings coming up. And God is preparing us so that we can receive it. Amen? Amen? Amen. Very, very important. That's how God deals with his children. That's how God dealt with the prophets. That's how God dealt with his people in the Bible. It's a very simple lesson, but it's there. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you in the right place? Are you getting ready for what God is about to do later on? Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, you can write this reference down, verses 6 and 7. It talks about how, so that our faith may be proved genuine. Everything we're going through, everything we experience, is so that our faith can be proved genuine. Are you with me? But we got to make sure that we're in the place. We're not complaining. We're not discouraged. But we're faithful because in God's time, as long as you're in the right place, I promise you, the blessings will be there. Amen. Amen. We're going to say a closing prayer, and then we'll have a closing song, and that's going to be it for our service this morning. Church, let's have a great week. God bless you all.